shining a light to the nations.
Well, hello again, everyone. I'm Bill Cloud, and you are watching Returning to Our Roots, and I'm so glad that you joined us today. I hope that you've been joining us every week because we are building each week as we go along on what we've taught about previously. And so in the last program, we were discussing the laws of the bondservant based in Exodus chapter 21, and we're going to continue to do that today. And we're going to read once again a couple of verses from Exodus 21 that I'm going to get into some other things about these verses. But verse 5 of Exodus 21 says, "If the servant plainly says, 'I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free,' then his master shall bring him to the judges. And he shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." And so, again, as we've shared with you before, of his own free will, this servant goes to his master in order to serve him forever and because he loves him, not because he's afraid of him. And the passage here tells us that he goes to the judges. In Hebrew, it says Ha Elohim, which is why in some translations it's to God. But the point is that he presents himself to the judges or to the powerful ones in what I believe is a public profession and a public declaration that I, so-and-so, of my own free will, after being released from my bondage, I'm legally able to go in my own way and do my own thing. Nevertheless, because I love my master and I don't want to leave my master, I'm going to obligate myself to serve him forever. So he makes a public confession of his will to serve him forever. And then the text tells us that he is taken to the master's house. Specifically, he's taken to the door of his master's house. And of course, this is where the master takes an awl and bores a hole through the servant's ear. Now, the imagery is this. The servant is standing with his ear against the door. And then the master takes that awl or that implement or whatever it was, and then he bored a hole through his ear into the door, which means that he literally and figuratively attached that servant to the door, indicating that at this point, he's now bound to this house forever. But there's other things that I think that we can see in this as well. Why, number one, would he bore a hole in his ear? Perhaps it was to open his ear so that this servant would be able to truly hear what the master would say. And if truly hearing him, would follow through and do what he asked him to do. Remember, Israel, before this particular instruction was given in Exodus 21, in Exodus before that, they had said, "Whatever the Lord says, we will hear and we will do." So our ears will be open to hear what you have to say and to do what you've instructed us. And so, as I've said before, I believe that the laws of the bondservant are in part engineered to challenge Israel, us, in this. If we do it, will we hear what he's saying? Will our ears be open? Messiah would say many times, "He who has an ear, let him hear." So I think that not only is the boring of the ear to the door saying that this servant is now bound to this house for all the days of his life, figuratively, literally, but it's also suggesting that his ear is being opened. Because if you think about it, in some regards, this particular servant's ear has already been opened because he's not motivated to serve the master exclusively by fear. He's motivated to serve him because he loves him. And so his ear, in some ways, has already been open. So anyway, his ear's been open. His ear's been attached to the door of the house. And so, again, it really wouldn't make any sense that he would go into the house and he would start telling the master what he will do and what he won't do. He's going to do what the master asks him to do because he loves his master. But he can't get into the house unless he first goes through the door. And so I want to show you the Hebrew word. I want to show you a Hebrew word here that's very interesting that we're going to expound upon a little bit. And it's spelled Dalet Bet Aleph. We're reading from right to left again. Dalet Bet Aleph. The Dalet represents a door. The Hebrew word for door is Delet. And so that first letter there represents a door. Now, we understand that Messiah is the door of the sheepfold. And this, of course, is found in John chapter 10 and verse 7. But so that Dalet up there represents the door. It represents the Messiah because we're trying to get into the Master's house, but you can't go into the Master's house forever unless you first go to the door. So again, that first letter, Dalet, represents a Delet, which is the door. Now, the door leads us to what? A house. The second letter that you're looking at there, the Bet, it represents a house. The Hebrew word for house is bait. And so the letter bait represents a house. And so we are trying to get into the house. Now, whose house are we trying to get into? We're trying to get into the master's house. And the word for master is aluf, which is very similar to the word aleph, which is the last Hebrew letter there in this word that we've just shown you. So dalet bait Aleph, the door of the house of the master. Now, when we take these three letters and we put them together to form this word, it's an old archaic Hebrew word, dove, and dove means abundance. You see, Yeshua came that we may have life and we may have it in abundance. But how do you attain life? Well, you've got to be willing to lose your life. If you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if for His sake you lose your life, you'll gain it. So we go to the door of the house of the master. You see, the servant has to go to the door of the house first and have his ear opened. And then he's allowed to go into the house of the master. And once he gets into the house of the master, he's going to have life and have it in abundance. Because once again, because his love has motivated him to serve his master forever, he's not the one mainly responsible to put food on the table. His master is going to take care of that. His master is going to give him shelter. His master is going to give him what he needs. He's going to give him his daily bread. Now, he may not give him what he wants, but he'll give him what he needs. And when his children are sick, his master will see to their care. And when his enemy is trying to destroy him, his master will defend him. Why? Because his love for his master motivated him to want to serve his master forever. And now he's become part of his master's house forever. He has life and he has it in abundance. Dove, Dalet, Bet, Aleph. But now, I'm going to show you in just a moment, I'm going to show you a word that the order is reversed. And that word is Aleph, Bet, Dalet. Now notice we've just reversed the order. Same three letters, just a different order. And so we're going to start with the Aleph. And the reason we start with the Aleph is because Yeshua said, and when he was talking about him being the door of the sheepfold, that anybody who tries to come in except by the door, tries to come some other way, is a thief and a robber. So what we're doing here is, in the word dove, we were going to the door first of the house of the master, but what we have now is the master's house and then the door. In other words, trying to get in the house of the master some other way, reversing the order of these letters. So the Aleph Bet Dalet gives us the Hebrew word avad. Avad, in this case, is the word that means to be lost or to destroy. In fact, it is the root word from which we get Abaddon that you can read about in the book of Revelation, which is the destroyer. Who was it that when the Lord passed over the house that had the blood of the Lamb, who was it that had to pass by? It was the destroyer. It was Abaddon. See, he tries to get in some other way. He tries to sneak in the back. Anybody who tries to go into the master's house without going through the door is a thief and a robber. You've got to go through the door, the Messiah, is the door. That's what we're trying to point out here. Now, I want to point this out as well, because if you were paying attention, that word that we just showed you, avad means to destroy, to be lost. But it's very, very similar to this word, pronounced avad, but spelled differently. It's spelled with the ayin, and we showed you that word because that word means eved, or bondservant. You see, there's a very slight difference between an eved and a bondservant, and an avad, or the abaddon, or the destroyer. You see, what I'm trying to get across here is, it's not enough just to do what he said. We've got to hear what he said. We have to internalize it into our heart. It's not enough just to hear what he said. We've got to do what he said. Because when we do those things and we fall into that category, we are an eved. We are a bond servant. We are someone who, because of our love for him, are motivated to serve him. But you see, the other, abaddon, for instance, destroyer, even though it sounds very much the same from the root, avad, the adversary is not going to do what the Creator said to do. He may hear what the Creator said, but he's not going to do it. He may hear what the Creator says, and maybe you understand what he intends, but he's not going to do it. And if he does it, he's not really hearing it. You understand what I'm trying to say, I hope? It's that we as bondservants have to be those who are willing to hear and to do what the Creator is saying. All right, so back to my point. I kind of went off script there for just a minute. I hope that's okay. But the point is, if you're going to be a bondservant, to serve the Master forever, you've got to go through the door that leads to the house of the Master. And that door is the Messiah, Yeshua. They were not going to get to Sinai unless they first trusted in the blood of the Lamb and that blood being upon the doorposts of their homes on the night that God went through the land of Egypt and struck down the firstborn of man and beast. You've got to go through the door. Now, we're going to go back to the idea that the bondservant's ears are being opened. I want to read to you from a Psalm of David. This is Psalm 40, beginning at verse 1. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Now, as we read that, I want you to consider the children of Israel as it was when they were in Egypt. They're in Egyptian bondage. And remember, the first command, I'm the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, is linked to the first and great command of love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And that's linked to the laws of the bondservant. The servant who was released from his bondage is able to go his own way, but he's going to serve his master forever. All these things are linked. So, as we read Psalm 40, think about Israel in Egyptian bondage. It says that when we were in bondage, we began to cry out, and he heard my cry. Well, according to Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, when God spoke to Moses, he says, I have heard the cries of my people. In other words, is Psalm 40 kind of relating to us what their heart would have been in the Egyptian bondage? We cried out, he heard our cry. He says, I have heard the cries of my people. In Psalm 40, it talks about them being in a pit, and he brings me up out of the miry clay. Think about it. They literally were in a pit, and they were in miry clay. They were making bricks with clay and straw, and so they were literally in this pit, and he brought them out of that pit. It says that he set my feet upon a rock. Well, when God led them through the sea, and he brought them into the wilderness, and he brought them to Sinai, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, there was a rock that followed them all through the wilderness, and that rock was Messiah. Psalm 40 says that he established my steps. That's exactly what he did at Mount Sinai. He gave them instructions on how to live, which is to establish their steps. The steps of a good man are ordered of God. What does that mean? It's saying that He's already told us how we're to walk, the straight and narrow path. That's determined by His Word. He establishes our steps, the steps of a good man. So what I guess I'm trying to say is that all these things that we read in Psalm 40 is exactly what we see in the Exodus story, how He brings them out, what He brings them to. Even when it says, He has put a new song in my mouth. When they came through the Red Sea, Miriam and the women with their tambourines were singing praises. They were singing this new song unto the Lord. So, again, let us look at Psalm 40 as a recounting of what happened in Egypt, being brought out of Egypt, and what He intended to do with the people of Israel once He brought them out of Egypt. And not to instill fear in them exclusively, but better to provoke them to trust Him. It says, many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. So, understanding that this is perhaps kind of hinting at Egypt and coming out of Egypt, let's go back to Psalm 40 and let's read some more verses, beginning in verse 4. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. So now that just told us that God does not require sacrifice and offering. He does not desire burnt offering and sin offerings. Then my question would be, what is the book of Leviticus all about? Because the book of Leviticus is all about offerings and sacrifices, sin offerings, burnt offerings. So if He didn't require those things, or if He didn't desire those things, then why did throughout the book of Exodus He detail all of those things that they were to do in approaching Him in the tabernacle? I believe the answer to the question is in this statement. My ears you have opened. Now, you remember what the scribe, when he asked Yeshua about what is the greatest command, and Messiah gave him the primary two commandments, to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, here in Mark 12, let's listen to what the scribe and how he responded to that statement. So the scribe said to him, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. So to understand that if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself, that, and to grasp that, to internalize that, is worth much more than all the sacrifices and all the offerings and all the burnt offerings, all combined. In other words, what this scribe was saying is that he hears what God is saying through all of these sacrifices, burnt offerings, sin offerings, etc. He hears what He's saying because He's internalized it. His ears are open. You see, in Psalm 40, it says, between sin offerings and burnt offerings you didn't desire, sacrifices and offerings you didn't require, between that statement is this one, my ears you have opened. The scribe's ears were opened that if you can love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself, then everything else will fall into its proper place, and that's a lot more important than understanding the details of sacrifices and burnt offerings. The psalmist, David, is saying the same thing. Sacrifice and offering is not what you required. Sin offerings and burnt offerings is not what you desire. In between that statement, my ears you have opened. It's as if David is saying this, I hear what you're saying through all of the sin offerings and burnt offerings and sacrifices and different offerings, etc. I understand now what you're saying through that because you've opened my ears. The word in Hebrew there is kara. That is to say that my ears you have opened, kara. And it means this, to dig or to bore open. I want to read you this same passage from the Amplified Version of the Scripture, Psalm 40, verse 6, and it says this. You have given me the capacity to hear and obey your law, a more valuable service than burnt offerings and sin offerings, which you didn't require. In other words, the Amplified Version paints a very clear picture, and an accurate picture, I believe, of exactly what David's trying to get across here. I get it. My ears are opened. I understand what you're trying to say now. These sin offerings and burnt offerings, those things that everybody gets focused on, those aren't the most important things to you. Most important things to you are that my ears be open to hear what your instructions are actually telling me, and that you're looking for people who are willing to serve you because they love you. That's what you're really trying to say through this. Here's what the NIV says, Psalm 40, verse 6. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. My ears you have pierced. I'm going to recommend to you that my ears you have pierced is alluding to the ears of that bondservant. When he goes to the door of his master's house and he sets his ear against the door, the master comes and with an awl bores a hole through his ear. Why? So that his ears can be opened. Why do his ears need to be open? So when the master is giving him instructions, I want you to do this, I want you to do it that way, I don't want you to do this, I want you to do this on a certain day, that his ears are open to understand what the master is really looking for is a servant who will fulfill these duties because he loves his master, not necessarily because he understands all the intricacies and the whys and the hows of what he's being told to do. The fact that his heart is willing to serve his master regardless of what he's asked to do. That is more important than sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings. Now, don't get me wrong. The servant is still obligated to do what the master has asked him to do. But if the servant does it with his heart closed and his ears shut, then is he really serving the master? And is he doing it based on love? Again, I believe that David, when he writes in Psalm 40, verse 6, my ears you have opened, is alluding back to this, the laws of the bondservant. You opened my ears so I can understand what you're saying. Now, this is very important because David wrote this. David wrote this psalm. However, I want to read this verse to you and ask you, could David had said this of himself? Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. Again, David wrote this psalm. David wrote all these things. He's the one who wrote sacrifice and offering you didn't require, sin offerings and burnt offerings you didn't desire, my ears you have opened. David wrote all that. And David wrote what the verse we just read. Lo, I come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. But my question is, could David say that of himself? In other words, is the whole book, and what I mean by that, the scriptures, is the whole book written about David? And the answer is no. The whole book is written about the son of David. The whole book is written about the Messiah. And so here's the point. When it says, behold, I come in the scroll of the book, it is written of me, that can only be stated by the Messiah. And that means then that Messiah is the one who actually says, sacrifices and offerings you didn't require. My ears you have opened. Sin offerings and burnt offerings you didn't desire. Behold, I come, and the scroll of the book it is written of me. In other words, Messiah, Yeshua, is the one who say, my ears you have opened. And if that is alluding back to the laws of the bondservant, then Messiah is saying, I am coming as a bondservant. The whole book has been trying to describe what it is the Creator is looking for in His people, and I'm coming to demonstrate to His people exactly what the Creator is looking for, because I'm coming as a bondservant. I'm coming as the last Adam, the one who was first called to do those things the Creator told him to do and to guard them. I'm coming to show you that it can be done and how it's to be done. I'm coming to demonstrate to you exactly what the Creator is looking for in all of His people. And it was the Messiah who prayed this prayer, "Not my will, but yours be done." That's what the Creator is looking for, not just in the Messiah, but He's looking for it in all of Messiah's followers. He's looking for that in all of His people. And He's looking for it from people who will do it because they love Him. Thanks for joining me today. Please join with us next week, and we're going to continue teaching about the laws of the bondservant. Until then, shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BillCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.